Let's all stand with the Lord in prayer. Father, we just come to you today in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege and honor to be able to publish the gospel, your word. We thank you, Lord, we get it out to all the world, in the top of the world, the bottom world, all the way around the world. God, we thank you that you said in your word, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made from authority over us. So, Lord, we thank you for our president and vice president and senators and congressmen, the legislators, the Supreme Court, and governors and mayors and police officers, the armed forces, the CIA and FBI, and the judge for land, for their staff, families, administration, loved ones. We claim their salvation, deliverance. They hearken diligent voice, word of God. Thank you, Lord, for leaders around the world, nation world, that every nation has the gospel preached as a witness, and then it should come. And Father, we pray for all those laborers out there, that no weapon formed against them shall prosper, and every tongue arise against them in judgment thou shalt condemn. Thank you, Lord, for anointing them and equipping them to do the work, Lord Jesus Christ. That you raise up people to help them, Lord, to get the message out. And Father God, we just thank you, Lord, for all those laborers out there. We thank you, Lord, that every day more people are receiving Jesus, the Lord and Savior. And more believers are being filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking other tongues and hearing the word of faith and going forth and doing exploits in your name. And Father God, I thank you for anointing me today that I'll be able to say and do what you have me say and do. Thank you, Lord, for giving me honor to the Holy Ghost. And I pray for all of us, Lord, as we hear your word and hear from the Holy Ghost, that we'll go forth and become doers of your word and led by the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Now, before you're seated, turn around, shake somebody's hand or somebody in front of you and welcome to church today. Tell them you're glad to see them. Okay, amen. Let's open our Bibles over here to the book of 3 John. And the scripture says here, we'll start here in this verse 1, the elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Now notice this verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. Now when I first heard this verse of scripture, soon after I got born again, I wasn't too sure if I was God's beloved. So what I did is I just took a pen and put a line through the word beloved, and I wrote my name there. I got it in my Bible now. But so I read it this way. Jesse, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as my soul prospers. And I begin to take that verse of scripture, even though it sounded too good to be true. I mean, at the time, not knowing any word, I just felt lucky to be saved. So why would you ask God for anything else? Well, here, this is God's will for every child of God. Just like he wants every sinner saved. God's not willing that any should perish. This is God's will that, and you want to set your sights on this, that you are prosperous, that you do walk in health. And over here in the book of Matthew, notice over here in Matthew chapter 6. Now, if you grew up Protestant or Catholic, you probably prayed this prayer in church. But here in Matthew chapter 6, now the scripture says here in verse 9, Jesus said, after this manner, therefore pray. Remember, the disciples had said in Luke chapter, the Lord teaches to pray as John taught his disciples. So now he says here, and this is what we've called the Lord's Prayer in religious circles. Jesus said, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Now notice here, he starts out, he said, pray ye our Father, which art in heaven. And then Jesus goes on and says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as in heaven. So this is Jesus' desire, or God's desire, that the way heaven is the way this earth is. And in fact, we're supposed to pray this way. Jesus came that we might have life and ever more abundantly. And so this is how God wants our lives to be. Well, now there's no sickness in heaven. Sometimes, you know, when you'll hear people that were sick in the body of Christ, and they died sick, didn't get healed. And people say, well, now they're healed now. They're with the Lord. Thank God they're not suffering anymore. Well, thank God they're with the Lord if they knew Jesus. And thank God they're not suffering anymore. Well, now people aren't sick in heaven. Neither should they be sick on this earth. Now, back over here in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, the scripture says here in verse 1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, darkness on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, and that it was good, and God divided the light from darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and morning were the second day, first day. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divide the waters that were under the firmaments and the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, let the waters on the earth be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And so it was. And God called the dry land earth. And he gathered together the waters, called the seas, and God saw it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed it is itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw it was good. And the evening and morning was the third day. And God said, let the lights of the firmaments of heaven be divided, the day from the night, and let there be signs, and for seasons, and for days and years, and let them be the lights in the firmaments of the heaven to give light to the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night, and he made the stars also. And God set them in the firmaments of heaven to give light upon the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and divide the light from darkness, and God called it good. And God saw it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundance, and moving the moving creature that hath life, and the fowl that flieth above the earth in the open firmament of the heaven. And God created great whales, and every living creature that moveth upon the waters brought forth abundance after their kind, every winged fowl after this kind. And God saw it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the waters in the sea, and let the fowl multiply in the earth. In the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth every living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping things and beasts of the field after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth after his kind, the cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw it was good. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth on earth. So God created man in his own image, in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon earth. And God said, behold, I give you every herb-bearing seed that is upon the face of the earth, and every tree in which there is a fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it should be for you meat, and to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life. I have given every herb, every green herb of meat, and it was so. And God saw that everything he made, and behold, it was very good, and the evening and morning was the sixth day. Thus the heavens and earth were finished, and all the hosts therein. And on the seventh day God ended his work which was made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. Now you notice in all these things that God made, the Bible said that everything he made was very good. So we were created in the image of God, and we were given dominion over this earth. Kathy, maybe you want to scoot over? We were given dominion over this earth. And Jesus came and gave us his name. He showed us how to use our dominion that we have. You know, when you read in Matthew chapter 4 and Luke chapter 4, the devil came to Jesus, and Jesus just kept countering Satan back by saying it is written. Well, from the beginning of mankind, we see that God wants us to be blessed. And everything he made was good, and he gave us dominion over this whole earth. And so we need to exercise our dominion that God gave us. I mean, an illustration of using your dominion is when Jesus in Mark chapter 4, beginning of verse 35, he taught about the sower sows the word, and he said, let us pass over the side. Well, now he didn't hold a prayer meeting before he went on this voyage. He just spoke what he desired. And when you're going someplace, you want to do the same thing. You know, when Moore read that card today, it said something about, I will go on the strength of the Lord. Well, what you want to do is before you go in someplace, And if you know you're coming back here, then you just say, I'm going to pass over there and back successfully in the name of Jesus. I say it this way, going back from New York and Connecticut. I say, I'm going to pass New York City back to Connecticut with no glitches, no traffic jams, in Jesus' name. I begin to decree that and declare that. Well, then I got the foundation laid. And then I say, I'm a tither. And I'll quote Malachi chapter 3, verse 10 through 12. Bring all the tithes to the storehouse, that may meet my house. Improve me now. Hear what say Lord of hosts. If I went out of winds of heaven, pour you out a blessing, there shall not be room not to receive it. And I rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not show the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast fruit for the time field, say Lord of hosts. And all nations call you blessed, for each blessed land say Lord of hosts. Now that's how I do my trips. Went a few places, maybe not as many as you, but that's how I'll do that. When I did floor covering, before I entered this house, Satan, I bind you in the name of Jesus. Now, that doesn't mean something happened, but what hour had the foundation poured? And I'd say no. Well, now Jesus, let's read this. Over here in Mark chapter 5, or 4, excuse me, in verse 35, he taught about the sower sows the word. He said, when you hear the word, Satan comes immediately to take it away. Now here in verse 35, and the same day when he was come, he saith them, let us pass over into the other side. And when they sent away the multitude, they took him as he was in the ship, and they're also with him other little ships. And there was a great storm away, and the waves beat the ship, so it was now full. And as the hind part of the ship asleep on a pillow, and they wake him and said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Now that's the normal human thinking when you're not, your mind's not renewed the word of God. And he rose and rebuked the wind and said to sea, peace be still, and the wind ceased, and it's a great calm. And he said to them, why are you so fearful, and how is you have no faith? Well, if they couldn't have done this, he would have probably just said, it's pretty cool what I did, didn't it? You know? No, he showed us. He'd already given that faith decree. Problem rose up. No. He immediately spoke to the wind and storm. That's what a believer does. What you see Jesus do is what you do in his name. I mean, he's the one who said in Matthew 18:18, verily I say unto you, whatsoever you should bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Jesus, the one that said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 12, the kingdom of heaven suffer violence, the violent take it by force. Folks, I mean, these are scriptures that when I first heard them, I mean, inside of me, I'm doing handsprings. I still love these verses. They're like my favorite verse in the Bible. Because like I shared with you Tuesday night that I've never said before until then, I got a hold of the exceedingly great and precious promises. And the exceedingly great and precious promises trump everything else in the Word of God with me. I find a prom. I don't care if anyone got healed in the Bible. If it says, by his stripes you're healed, I'm healed. I don't care what happened to Peter, Paul, or Mary, anybody else. And I, you know, that's a blast to religion. They're not my Savior. And I've heard all those messages preached about what happened to someone in the Bible. Maybe Job. First one I heard about was Job. Job had what did he have? He had problems. Paul had a thorn. But Job lost everything he had. Now, bless Job's heart. He didn't have the book of Job to read. I do. And Job chapter 2, verse 7, and Satan smote Job with sore boils. Job said in Job chapter 1, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Job didn't know that Satan came to steal, kill, and destroy. So consequently, you know, he's doing what he can with what knowledge he does have. Because it was Satan that took from him. It wasn't God. But yet, anytime someone dies, the Lord took him. It was just their time to go. Well, says who? Because you're dead doesn't mean it was your time to go. You may have died prematurely. See, the reasons that people don't get healed and die prematurely is, number one, write these down. Lack of knowledge of God's word. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. Not discern the Lord's body. For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, many sleep. That means they're dead. Now see, these may not mean to you, but I got these as ammo for me. And every time Satan would talk to me, I bring these verses out. You don't believe me? Ask him. Because he'll bring up some preacher that didn't get healed. I say, hey, I don't think about him. But he ain't Jesse Rich, and Jesse Rich knows that by his stripes I'm healed or whatever he's trying to do to me. See, what I'm saying is, promises trump everything else in the Bible with me. I made my mind up when I got 1 Peter 2:24. I don't care if no one in the Bible got healed. I don't care if anybody else, you know, they didn't use the 91st Psalm for protection. I got it. And I won't even stub my toe in Jesus' name. Now, you got to get that arrogant, that belligerent, that bold, have that kind of tenacity, be that harsh with God's word if you're going to stand against Satan, because this passiveness is not going to cut it with him. You will not stop Satan by being passive. You may impress your Christian friends that you're sweet and kind. Now, you need to be kind to people and love people, but you don't take any stuff from Satan. This is my language doing so well. You don't take anything from Satan. You stand against him in Jesus' name, and you tell him, no, that doesn't belong to me. I will save the Lord. He is my refuge and my fortress, and my God will I trust. Those angels will protect you that you don't even stub your toe. So you've got divine protection. These are promises in God's word. Thou shalt tread upon the lion, the otter, and young lion, dragon shalt thou trample under feet. It's just what Jesus said in Luke chapter 10, verse 19. I give you power to tread upon serpents, scorpions, overpower the all the enemy. They already had this power. That we've had it since Genesis. He's just reinforcing it, letting them know this belongs to you. This storm rose up. If this had been a religious person, they would have said, well, I guess it's just our time to go. These things we don't quite understand. And everybody would have went blip, 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 and we'd have lost Jesus and disciples, and they'd be out there today with their scuba gear trying to find the boat that went down and make something for the History Channel. The reason it went down is because the bow broke off the stern, and this is how people talk. How was Jesus? Did he have any accidents? He sprained an ankle and had to get somebody else to fill in for him? I'll be there, boys. I don't know why this happened, but we don't quite understand it. Peter, wait up. My Lord, my God, what are we going to do? We're going to get a new Messiah because he's not supposed to get hurt. This is ridiculous. This is crazy, and you are the body of Christ. You're just as much the body of Christ as Jesus was. He's the head, you're the body. You're in the body of Christ. You need to realize you got authority. This whole world's going to change. You want to grab a hold of your authority in Jesus' name. So you want to, the people that's going to have the blessings is the one that took and fought the good fight of faith, bound the devil, took authority over him, and backed Satan down in Jesus' name. You've got to take God's word. You've got to, like we found out Tuesday night, you've got to have a strong want to. Jesus said, what things serve you desire when you pray? Believe you receive them and you shall have them. Your want-to's got to be strong. You've got to be like that woman with the issue of blood who spent all her money on physicians, nothing better, rather go worse, but she heard of Jesus. She said, if I can just touch his garment, I'll be made whole. Why did she say that? Because she was sick and tired of being sick and tired. And she heard about Jesus, the people touch him and get healed. She said, I'm going to touch him. How about the lady in Matthew chapter 15, beginning in verse 21, has got a demon-possessed daughter at home. She goes after the disciples. They said they ignoring her. They said, Jesus, send her away. She troubles us. And Jesus said, it's not right to take the children's bread and give it to the dogs. She said, truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat the crumbs that fall at their master's table. Her faith got her daughter delivered. Now, as long as you don't mind poverty and lack, you're going to live in poverty and lack. As long as you don't mind pain in your body, you're going to have pain in your body. But the way it is in heaven is the way it's supposed to be on this earth. That's why God, through Jesus Christ, said to pray that way. We want this earth to be like it is in heaven. There's no corruption. There's no sickness, disease. You've got authority of the devil. Jesus already redeemed you. Someone said that'd be a fantasy world. If you don't have God's word, yeah, but you do. You're more than a conqueror. You triumph in Christ Jesus. You're seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. You got authority over the devil. The devil's defeated. You've been healed. You've been delivered. You're prosperous. You're blessed going in, blessed going out. What more does a person want? You've got the names above every name. You've been given a host of angels. You got authority that angels don't even have. You can talk to these demon spirits and should in Jesus' name, because depression is going to come. Fear is going to come. Everybody's had depression. Everybody's had fear come to them. But what you got to realize is that I got to shut the door to this. And the way you shut the door to fear and depression is with your mind. Those thoughts that come to you, begin to cast them out in the name of Jesus. Think on those things that are honest and just and pure and lovely and good report and virtuous and praise. Casting down imaginations, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing in captivity thought to being to Christ. When those thoughts come to you of depression and fear, don't just dwell on them. Cast them out in Jesus' name. Just realize this is another day Satan's trying to rob me of my joy. And you only got so many days. So he'll rob you of your joy. You've got to talk to fear. You've got to talk to those ugly feelings. You got to talk to those emotions in Jesus' name and just say, no, I resist this in Jesus' name. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but a power and love and sound mind. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Count it all joy when you fall in diverse temptations, knowing this, to try of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God to give it to all men liberally and upbraid not, shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing waver. For he that wavers like the wave of sea, driven and tossed. For let not that man think he shall be anything, Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And just begin to praise God. You get this in the mail, get on your knees and praise God in the morning. Lift up your hands and begin to praise God. Thank God and praise God. And just keep using God's word. You've got to work the word inside of you. People would rather do anything else but this. Your flesh is just going to drag its heels to do anything like this, but you've got to make yourself. You can't depend on stuff you've heard. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word proceeds out of the mouth of God. So it doesn't make a difference what you've heard, how many scriptures you've heard in the past, and what we read today you've already heard before. That'd be like trying to depend on food you ate last year to give you strength today. You cannot get strength in the food you ate yesterday to give you strength today, nor more than you could the Word of God. You've got to get the Word of God in daily, and this is where people miss it. They think, well, I've heard that verse. I know that verse. Why should I have to read it today? Because it's food to your spirit, man. You've got to get your spirit man strong, and most Christians don't know they need to get their spirit man strong. You've got a spiritual bully out there named Satan, and you're going to have to resist him, your spirit man, using the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, binding the devil, stopping the devil, prohibiting the devil, not allowing Satan to just come to steal, kill, and destroy. And that's what he does. He'll just keep taking and taking and taking until you just can decide that you're not going to take it anymore. But you've got to use the Word. You've got to use the sword of the Spirit. You've got to deal with those thoughts that come to your mind. And God wishes above all things that you prosper. One minister said, well, that means spiritual prosperity. Who gave you the authority to say this? Huh? Who gave you the authority to change a verse of Scripture in the Bible? Who do you think you are? If God would have meant spiritual prosperity, don't you think he's got enough sense he could have said spiritual prosperity? When 1 Peter 2:24 says, by his stripes you were healed. If God meant spiritual healing, don't you think God's educated enough he could have said spiritual healing? But he didn't say that. What's conspicuous absent is the word spiritually. There is no such thing as spiritually. When you got born again, you get spiritually healed. You became a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. He said he wants you to prosper. That means, how are they doing in heaven? They got streets paved with gold. You think people are picking these bricks up? No more than you pick up pavement. That's how heaven is. Who lives more extravagant than God? You suppose he's turned down the lights? Because he's thinking green? Jesus, your glow's too strong. Jesus is the light of heaven. He's the light of this world. You've got to let your light shine. These crazy idiots out here, they ain't going to know nothing. You've got to tell them. They worship to your creation and not the Creator. They're trying to save this earth. This earth is going to pass away. You know what that means? It's going to die. The word says it's going to pass away. Just like people are going to pass away, the earth is going to pass away. We're going to get a new earth and a new heaven. All because of sin. The reason we've got sickness in this world is because of sin. Sin entered in. When sin entered in, the curse came in. We read there from the Word of God that everything God made was good. Where in there did it say he created sickness? On what day was sickness good? Sickness is not good. God did not create sickness. He did not create pain. He did not create disease. This all happened the day Adam and Eve sinned. That's when they died. They died that day spiritually, then they died physically. Death is an enemy, the last enemy destroyed. As it is in heaven, so it be on this earth. When you look at Jesus, you see God's perfect example of how a person is supposed to live. How they're supposed to be. He wasn't sick. He became sin for us. He never sinned. Sickness came in with sin. That's the origin of it. That's where it originally came from. Well, Brother Rich, are you saying that I'm sick because I've sinned? Well, I'm going to tell you something. You have sinned. Do you understand me? You have sinned. So let's get that straight. Jesus said, go and sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon thee. For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, many sleep. Sickness comes in, it got in. Stuff gets in like the roaches. You get in sin, you open your door to the devil. Fornication brings sickness to the body. Many scriptures on that. You can do that with your mind. You can do that with your body. You can do that with some other person. That's going to open the door for sickness to get in. You commit fornication, you sin against your own body. You reap what you sow. You sow the flesh, you of the flesh reap corruption. You sow the spirit, you of the spirit reap everlasting life. There's a law of sin and life in Christ Jesus. There's a law of life in Christ Jesus, and there's a law of sin and death. But the devil brings this stuff on. He brings the temptation. If he can get you to yield, then he's got open access to get in. He got into Job because probably of fear. The thing I greatly feared came upon me. And listen how he's talking. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. He's losing everything. It was God that turned everything around. Now what you've got to realize is that if I give Satan room, this dude's coming in. And you're not going to want him to come in. God will forgive you, but now you've opened the door for the devil to get in, and now you don't know what he's done to you while you were sinning. You don't know what happened to your blood or what happened to your heart or what happened to your arteries, the pine that you were enjoying that. Sure, God will forgive you. But you got the devil that's looking for a way to get in. The Bible says give no place to the devil. So what you do with your mind, what you do with your body, what you do with your thought process can open the door of the devil. That's why we're told not to do these things. God's trying to protect us so the wicked wind can't touch us, so the shield of faith will quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. The devil's looking for a way to get in. It's very sobering, but you got to realize you got one body, one life, and you want to make sure that you keep your body healthy and whole in Jesus' name. Those parts start breaking down, you get so you'll be trapped inside your body. Look over here at Revelation chapter 21. In Revelation 21, now verse 1 says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, and the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. Hey, so they died. And there was no more sea. And I, John, saw a holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of the heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for husband. Can you imagine when this thing, a city drops from heaven? A whole city. I mean, people stand outside when they see the shuttle coming. It's coming back. I'm in Florida, and I thought I was just going to find out where these people got this. I just saw the world's largest bottle rocket. And I'm driving along, and I'm thinking, I'm getting these, because down south they sell cool stuff. Now, just from North Carolina or South Carolina, but I'm going to find out when this thing lands, who in the world shot this thing off? And there I found out other people are looking too. So you see, they want to get these bottle rockets. Now, I've had some decent bottle rockets. My dad, when I was a boy, he bought some that would just blow out the top of a tree. And my Max Mansfield, he brought one back from World War II. And he always sat in his garage. And one day he lit it off and fired out, and it blew out the top of a tree. He just stood out like everybody else looking. Like, well, what happened? Boom! I thought, I'm getting this. Truth, I thought, sure, it's just a bottle rocket, man. It's coming down, you know, it's got a decent smoke trail. And I pulled over there, you know, and I get out, and I'm looking at this, and I go, wow, this is incredible. Yeah, and the guy goes, yeah, the shuttle was supposed to land yesterday, but it was because of overcast. They're going to land it. I go, that's a shuttle? Surely it's bigger than that. God's going to drop a city down. A whole city. This isn't something Hollywood can do yet. But this is what, this new Jerusalem is going to come down. So don't be in hell when this happens. You want to be on God's side so you can observe it. You think these clowns today are doing something. Wait till God does his deal. Lady was going to church one day, and they said, where are you going? She said, I'm going to show. Because she knows God's going to show what he's going to do. He's going to show you things to come. And he puts on a display. When Jesus is born, he lit up the sky. He's got a way of advertising something. So hang on. Be faithful. And I heard a great voice out of the heavens saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with man, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Now, how do you like that? You're walking around saying, I'm with God. God's with me. I'm hanging with God today. Okay, I guess it doesn't do anything to you. And God shall wipe, you know, all these people that have all these friends today. Facebook, I have 319 friends. God's mine. You can hang around with whoever. You're hanging around with God. That slams dunk all the people on Facebook. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall be any more pain. The former things have passed away. Now the way is in heaven should be on this earth. And your attitude is when he sees me, there'll be no pain or no tears in my eyes, no sickness in me, because I've already been healed, delivered, and set free. He's going to work on the other people. As it is in heaven, so be on this earth. That's the words of Jesus Christ. As it is in heaven. We start praying that when we was little kids. Probably don't even remember the first time we prayed the Lord's Prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How should it be done on this earth? The way it is in heaven should be on this earth. That's how God wants to live as believers. He wishes above all things that we prosper. But you've got to be dogmatic about it. You can't just say, well, you know, if the Lord wants me to be prosperous, then his will be done. No, you've got the kingdom of heaven is severed violent, and the violent taken by force. You've got to come against all that doubt and unbelief. There's no financial problem too big for God that he cannot resolve. We have testament of Bible where like Maura read today where they're going to take this lady's children. You think they're taking somebody's house or taking somebody's car, they're going to take her boys. But she got a miracle. She obeyed God and got a miracle. And her paid all the debt, and her and her sons lift off the rest. That's what God's able to do. Just by looking to him in Jesus' name. He bailed a whole nation out in one day. A 24-hour miracle. Yesterday said bread will sell for so much, and they said that's a lie. He said, well, you'll see it, but you won't partake of it. So God can turn around the economy of one whole nation. All this nation needs to do is invent one chip that makes women 10 years younger. We'll pay off the debt. Men, you can't take this, but if a woman takes it, she becomes 10 years later, younger, later, ever. How about that? Huh? So much for Clairol, so much for everything else. You got this. I mean, that would slam dunk Avon, wouldn't it? You know, stuff our grandma buys. This is what God can do. You just got to keep looking at him and keep the pressure on God's word. Jesus said, let us pass to the other side. That he didn't start a prayer meeting. So, well, I guess, you know, it's just our time to go. You never know what God will do. He works in mysterious ways. And there you know that it went down. We wouldn't have had the testimony today of what God was able to do. No, you got to keep on fighting that good fight of faith. You got to keep that sword of the Spirit coming out your mouth in the name of Jesus and just keep talking yourself and just keep saying what the Word says. What you read there today, God has strengthened my heart. God has strengthened my lungs. God has strengthened my mind. God has strengthened my body. God has strengthened my liver. Whatever it is, you keep saying, God has strengthened my body in Jesus' name. God has strengthened my finances in Jesus' name. The Lord perfects that which concerneth me. He makes my way perfect in Jesus' name. I can do all things through Christ's strength me. I have the mind of Christ in Jesus' name. I just kept saying that when the Lord told me about going to Bible school. I started saying and kept saying, I have the mind of Christ. I used 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16, and I took Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, I was already using, and I took Daniel chapter 1, verse 17, and I just begin to claim I've got the mind of Christ, the memory of the just is blessed, God's given me wisdom and skill of all learning. And that I can do all things through Christ strengthen me. And I just kept repeating it, keep re-saying it, keep re-saying it. You've got to talk to your body in Jesus' name. The teacher said he'll never be, told my parents he'll never learn. He's got a learning disability. Well, you know, they proved that out. But then one day when I was praying, the Lord said, I want you to go to Bible school. And you'll go for 2 years. Well, I thought, you know, I wouldn't mind doing that, but how am I going to read these books? I took my driver's test and just checked things off. I missed 4 questions. He's allowed to miss 5. Whew. And somebody said, what's the matter? Can't you read those? I'm thinking. And Shaky's dumber than me. He'd have his wife drive. If the police came and started pulling him over, they'd switch seats. She had real long hair. He had real long hair. And the cop didn't even know it. They just switched seats in the front row, like on the front seat, like this. They had a bench seat there in their car they had. Cops come and he says, Sue, hurry up. He pulled over and said, see your driver's license? Well, she had him. He didn't. All the time I knew him, all the time it worked for him, he never had driver's license because he couldn't read. I'm not telling off on him. I told you I couldn't first. How about this? They'd switch on that front seat. You ever try that? Oh, my belly'd hit the steering wheel, you think. Well, hey, there you go. Cops didn't know it. Never found out one time when he'd get pulled over. I think they made a mistake one time. She was driving the switch. I think, hey, wait a minute. You got to go back to where you were. Well, you see now, he didn't have his driver's license, so they worked out a little method here. They'd slide on top of one another and get the other seat. Well, no, so, hey, I got the mind of Christ, the memory of the just is blessed. God's given me wisdom and skill of all learning. I just kept saying it, kept saying it, kept saying it, kept saying it. And you got to, if you don't have a brain like I didn't, then you can get one created by speaking the word to it in the name of Jesus. If you got something wrong with your body, you can talk to, find the scripture that covers your problem and just attack that thing in your body and say it, say it, say it, say it. Go to sleep saying it, wake up saying it, just keep on saying it, saying it, saying it. Just keep saying, my debts are paid in Jesus' name. I got financial wisdom in Jesus' name. I got favor with God, man, in the name of Jesus. I'm debt free in Jesus. Oh, God, I just praise you and I thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And just walk the floors and praise God. Show God that you really want it. Fight that good fight of faith. Have that kind of tenacity that you're not going to take no for an answer. You're like the woman that don't want the unjust judge. He said, though I fear not God nor regard man, but because this woman. He caved. He gave in. Why? Because that lady had a strong want to. And that's what you've got to have. You've got to have that strong kind of want to in the name of Jesus. That I've got my blessing in Jesus' name, and no demon, no Christian, no preacher, no church can talk me out of it. I've got it in the name of Jesus because the word says I've got it. That's why I said I got to hold those exceedingly great and precious promises. For by these are you partakers of his divine nature, having escaped the corruption of this world through lust. To give it all your faith, add your faith, diligence. Diligence, kindness, brotherly kindness, love, charity. You keep adding to your faith life. You keep adding to your spiritual life. You keep taking what belongs to you in Christ Jesus, and you're not going to take anything else for an answer. You've got to have that kind of determination that this is what the Word says. I've got what God's Word says. I'm taking what God's Word says. I'm keeping what God's Word says. I have what God's Word says in Jesus' name. But if you had to just allow yourself to think, well, I guess it's okay, I'm doing all right, now ain't going to work. She spent all her money in physicians, was nothing better, rather grew worse. Been afflicted for all these years. But she got a miracle. She pressed on in. She got, how about the blind men? Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on us. And the crowd said, hold thy peace. And they cried out the much more. They got a one-shot deal at this, and they're going to take it. He's going by. And you've got to realize, I'm going through this life. Everything I can get right now is when it counts. And I'm getting my healing in Jesus' name, and I'm keeping it. I'm getting my prosperity that Jesus purchased for me, and I'm keeping the name of Jesus. No demon in hell, no doubt and unbelief, no fear, no confusion is going to keep me from possessing the promises that God gave me. Find promises in the Bible. Grab those promises and grab a hold of those. 1,000 may fall at this side, 10,000 right hand. Your attitude is, so what? What's that got to do with me? I've got God's word in Jesus' name. That's too bad they didn't get it. That's too bad they didn't receive. But that has nothing to do with me. That's like bringing up people that didn't get saved. So what? What's that got to do with me? Yeah, but we know someone who prayed that way and believed that way and they didn't get it. Well, that's just too bad for them. That has nothing to do with me. My faith is not based on them. My faith is based on chapter and verse, on the exceedingly great and precious promises, because God's promises trump everything else in this world in my life. If I find a promise, it's my. I don't care if it's not working for the preacher. If it's promised by God and in here, I'm taking it. And you want to take your prosperity in Jesus' name. Mr. Legge always called me the poor little rich boy. They made fun of my parents all the time because we didn't have any money. 16 years old before we had our first carton of Coca-Colas. Grew up taking baths, number three wash tubs. I grew up in being poor. But then I got born again. Found out you could have what you say. They say, poor boy, I don't come. I'm redeemed from poverty. And I'm dogmatic about it. I'm not talking the price of it. You got to stand against those things in the name of Jesus and realize that God wants you to have the best. He wishes above all things that you prosper, above everything that you prosper. That's more than enough. When you tithe, he promised you open up the windows of heaven, pour us out a blessing, there won't be room enough to receive all of it. Until you get the place you've got too much, you're not in his perfect will. And just keep striving for it, keep claiming it, and keep pressing on in the name of Jesus. And just keep saying those promises in the name of Jesus. I've got this in Jesus' name. I've taken it by faith in Jesus' name. I've decreed and I've declared it in the name of Jesus. I'm blessed going in. I'm blessed going out. My bills are paid in the midst of turmoil. Crank up more scripture, more word. And stay strong. Don't accept anything that's going to go on in this world. Don't listen to that news. Because that's going to rob you of your joy. It's going to take you of your faith. It's going to either bring anger to you or just thumb your nose at somebody else because they don't have anything. They're not your source. They're not your provider. They're not your need meter. God is. However he chooses, that's fine. But your source is God. And you want to talk to your body and call it, decree and declare it's done in Jesus' name. Realize that God wants me to have the best. God is good, and everything good comes from him. Every good gift and every perfect gift come down the Father of lights. Sickness is not good. Poverty is not good. You get real poor, you'll die because you won't have any food to eat. Just like you get real sick, you'll die because your body can't handle it. Your spirit man can keep your body alive, and you want to keep your spirit man strong. A strong spirit of man will sustain his infirmity and bodily pain. Doctors work on your physical body. You work on your spirit man. You go visit people, plant the word inside of them. Get their spirit man built up in God's word. That greater one begin to rise up. Faith is going to begin to rise up. That's why that greater one needs to rise up. Greater is he that is in me than he's in the world. Get your spirit man built up there. He's strong in Jesus' name. That anything comes up in your life, the first thing comes out your mouth is what the word says about you. I've got God's word in the name of Jesus. And you just realize, and you just get out there at the word of God, speak those promises, and flag everybody down you can in this world. Hey, I've got good news for you. I got a verse of scripture. Himself took my infirmities and bare my sickness. By his stripes I'm healed. I got good news. Jesus came. We might have life and have more abundantly. Are you enjoying the abundant life yet? Well, then you can have it in Christ Jesus. You're an heir of God, a joiner of Christ Jesus, the heir of Abraham's blessings. Everything that God promised Abraham belongs to you. What you've got to do is unashamedly step out and grab it in the name of Jesus. Forget about everybody else. What they do is what they'll do. Your faith can't be in people. Your faith has to be in God. Have faith in God. So you're looking to him. Check if it didn't happen to anybody else. Your faith has got to be in God. Where people don't like the, when you get to the place that people don't like the way you talk, they judge you for what you say because of your bold confessions based on God's word. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should fight the armies of God? We know your pride, David. We know your pride and honest of your heart. Listen to what his brother said. They didn't have anything else to say. And people accuse you of being proudful of that. When you talk, when you boast and say how big your God is, when you talk about how great God is, when you talk about all the things that God can do and has done in the Word, all these testimonies you got in the Word, that's for you. That's the reason he put them in here, so you'd have it, to encourage you to believe God. And take those promises and just thank God and praise God that you're prosperous in the name of Jesus. Some of you still talk poverty. You still talk lack. You still talk about what the price is. Talk to it. Call it paid. Call it done. I just, you know, for a few years when I lived in Simsbury, I couldn't buy groceries. So I just go to Fitzgerald's Market, and I talk to the meat. And I say, meat, you'll never get too expensive for me in Jesus' name. I didn't know they had places that sold meat that was more money than that place. I found a place last summer. Highland Market. Wow. It's not a price chopper. Well, so you those things are trying to intimidate you. That's the thing that got me in New York City apartment. I just said, in New York, you're not going to intimidate me in Jesus' name. I say, in Jesus' name, I got a place to dwell. Finally, I just finally sat on a sidewalk and came to me, it's right behind you. And I looked, and they were building a brand new apartment building. Well, say out your mouth what the word says. Just decree and declare in the name of Jesus what the word says. And talk to prices. Talk to your bills in Jesus. No matter how many things you've lost, you haven't lost more than Job. And Job got twice as much as he had before. Lived another 140 years. Prayed for his friends and got delivered. The Lord delivered him out of his captivity. 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, 1,000 she asses, and not mention one time turkeys. Because my Pentecostal churches say, well, I'm just as poor as Job's turkeys. If Job was here, he just had to move over. And then brag about how poor they were. Brag about how they didn't have any money. And then mad at anybody else if they did have any. Well, they sure wanted somebody else's money. Well, if I had that money, I'd give it to the church. Okay, whatever. All right, so praise the Lord. You've got those promises, those exceedingly great and precious promises that surpass everything else. You've got a promise that comes a problem. What are you going to do when you meet God and he says, you had a promise? What'd you do with it? You had a promise. You had the name of Jesus. He's not going to accept defeat. He's always victory. The victory's ours. It belongs to us. Jesus purchased it for us. God gave us dominion over this whole earth. And we got dominion over this earth in the name of Jesus. And we need to speak to earth in Jesus' name. The people in the world are so crazy. They're losing their mind, what little bit they had. And they're trying to save themselves. And they can't. They're thinking green and not thinking word. And so they've all got messed up. The cure to breast cancer is not a pink ribbon. It's the name of Jesus and the word of God. And you got to talk to your breast and say, in Jesus' name, breast, you're not going anywhere. You're staying on this body in Jesus' name. You're healthy and whole in Jesus' name. You got to talk to all your personal organs in Jesus' name. You got to talk to your body in Jesus' name. You got to talk to your finances in Jesus' name. You got to speak strength to your body, strength your mind, and strength your legs, and begin to say, I'll run and not be weary. I'll walk and not faint in Jesus' name. Instead of expecting not to be able to do this thing and think, well, you know, it's just like I thought it would be. No. You know, I mean, you should be excited about Mark 11, 23 and 24. Oh, it just thrilled me to find out about it. Hallelujah, that I could begin to talk to things in the name of Jesus. Decree and declare what the Word of God says about it in the name of Jesus. And just boldly decree it, boldly declare it, and people around you wonder why you're reading those scriptures all the time. You're building your spirit man up. They're not going to understand it. You're filling your spirit man up with God's Word. So when Satan comes and tries to attack you and tries to put something on you, you can say, oh, no, in Jesus' name, I resist this. He may say, you already got it. It's already on you. You already got it. The doctor said you got it. You can just say, well, you know what? They're not the final authority. God's Word is, and His Word says I'm redeemed. I've got exceedingly great and precious promises. I'm healed. I got exceedingly great and precious promises. I'm delivered. And no matter what people say, when I got heard Mark 11, 23 people, and verse 24, people came and said things to me. That verse doesn't mean that. That verse doesn't mean that. Don't you know? Don't you know John McCain was in prison and he prayed to get out? He didn't get out for years. I said, well, you know what? That's too bad for John McCain. Had no idea he was going to run for president. That's too bad for him. I've got Mark 11:24. Jesus said, not John McCain. Jesus said, what things there desire, when you pray, believe you receive them, you shall have them. Suppose my brother ever brought that up again. Survey says, no, you got to blast people down with the word. They bring up this stuff to you, you counter it. Those words come to you, well, what about so? I don't care. I don't care who prayed for what and didn't get it. That has nothing to do with me. This is, you know, you backslide and go to the world. What's that got to do with me? Ken Hafner told me, Rich, you won't stay saved that long. Well, Ken, I don't know where you're at today, but I'm still saved, and I told you then I would be. When you talk, don't say we. Don't speak about me, because I'm staying with him. And as those tests will come to you, people say things, see? Well, you know, we always get that when it goes around. Well, not me. Don't speak for me, because I refuse to get it. See, when you get ready to say we, you want your ears to perk up and see what your mouth's going to say. When you say we always, what's the next word you're going to say? Well, we always get our 100-fold return. We always get back what we tithe, what we give. Or are you going to say something else? You want your ears to perk all up when your mouth starts talking we. You know, you may be eating a sandwich, you know, watching television, your mouth goes, well, we always, and then they go, what? Tonguey, what are you going to say? What are we going to say? We always get our blessing. Good job, Tonguey. Now shut up until you speak the word.
Okay.
You want to be very careful. You think it's funny. You think it's when does words not mean anything? What words can you say that they don't mean anything? You're smarter than Jesus. Jesus said, who's servant? Because I got relatives that think this way. They think you can just say whatever you want to say. And they know more than Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said that whosoever saying this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast to sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which you say shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever say. But I've got relatives that say, well, that doesn't mean that. When does your words not mean anything? When can you say something that your words don't work against you or work for you? What words can you say out your mouth that are meaningless? What words are they? There isn't any. You'll give account for every idle word. You can't possibly read prosperity scriptures and then say we don't have enough money to go to church. We can't buy gas. You can't talk this way. I just put tape on my gas gauge and I went. What'd you do? You got to show Satan. I'm not stopping Satan. No, you got the wrong thing here, Satan. You're talking the wrong thing. I'm not quitting. I can do all things through Christ. I'm going in Jesus' name. God's going to have to do something. I'm going in the name of Jesus. I'm not stopping. I've got God's word. I got authority over you, Satan, in Jesus' name. But you start backing down. What are you going to stop backing down? Because if he can get in one area, he can get in another area. That's just how he works. You accept this, you'll accept something else as bad. And people will. They'll accept childhood diseases, and then they'll accept bronchitis, and then they'll accept this and accept that, and then next thing you know, they're just accepting everything. They don't know how to use the word. They don't know how to use the sword of the Spirit. They're ignorant of it. And anything comes up, you got to take authority over it in Jesus' name. Bind it in the name of Jesus. Take authority over it in the name of Jesus. No, I got God's word over this in the name of Jesus. And I'm not gonna make place to Satan in Jesus' name. Satan, you're not getting in Jesus' name. I refuse to let you get in Jesus' name. I have God's word. I have the name of Jesus. I have the Holy Spirit. He dwells within me. The angels of God encamp around about me. You got authority the angels don't have, folks. God gave you this dominion of this earth. They're going to hearken diligently unto the voice of the word of God. You're going to judge angels. They ain't judging you. You've been given the name of Jesus. There's salvation provided for you, and there wasn't with the angels that fell. Lucifer doesn't have a chance to get saved. But he said, I'm going to exalt my throne above the Most High God. And he shouldn't have said that. And God gave us this earth. He expects us to police it and take care of it and use the name of Jesus and use our authority over it in the name of Jesus. No matter what people say, you got to come against everything. All the shortages they're going to try to put on this earth. Oh, if people don't get a hold of the word and don't use their authority, there'll be things this world and nation would suffer that Satan has planned for eons. Because it's his plan to destroy the finances of this nation. It's Satan's plan to take the economy of this nation. It's Satan's plan to destroy your joy. Don't wait till it's too late and have to look back and say, boy, I want those good days. Boy, those were the best days. Had I known that this was going to happen, I'd have been more joyful then. No, you're living in the hour. You're living the time when joy should accelerate, should exceed in your life more than ever before. Use the word, use the name of Jesus, and come against all that Satan's trying to destroy. For it's him that has a plan to come in and destroy. It's people that wants to put you in bondage and keep control of you so you won't have anything. It's people that's going to try to talk you out of their blessings and take your religious freedoms away from you. It's people that's going to come, that the devil will inspire to come to take away your privilege and rights that you have. But if you'll pray, if you intercede, if you build yourself up, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went through the fire furnace, they came out and didn't smell a smoke. You'll come through with victory and prosperity and good health. But there's another voice you'll have to pick and decide whose team are you going to be in. Will you be on theirs or will you be on the Lord God? Choose you this day whom you're going to serve. There's a decision being made now in the spiritual world. You're going to decide who you're going to be with. And many of your relatives and family and loved ones, they're going to be on the other side. On this earth. But they'll side in with the spirit of the Antichrist that's doing everything he can today to blind the very elect. So don't be moved by them. They'll lure you away from the Lord Jesus Christ, and they'll lure you away from your covenant that you have with God. They picked up this passive spirit and thinking they're pleasing the Lord God, but they're not fighting the good fight of faith. They're not using the sword. They're not using the authority that I gave them. They're trying to appeal to other people that they're kind and gracious and care about others, but they're a liar, they're hypocrites, and they're deceivers. It's the enemy, the false Christ, the Antichrist that works through these people to destroy everything that generations have built up with their faith and with their servitude of God. And there'll come a day in this nation where people will have to decide what they're going to do, who they're going to choose, who they're going to follow. So pick the Lord. Pick his promises. Pick his word. Pick prosperity and pick health. Know that God is my physician. That God is my shepherd. That God is my provider in the name of Jesus. And I don't need anything from you because there'll be no government to be able to say they made me rich and they took care of my needs, but the Almighty God. Some of you are slipping away. You've listened to that spirit and you've entertained it. And you've got to thinking, well, maybe it's not too bad. Maybe it's okay to go with them. After all, if I do, I'll get this benefit and that benefit. Be not deceived. Know that there is that spirit out there who seduces, a familiar spirit that will blind you when you partake of it. His whole desire is to destroy this nation. That I raised up to preach the gospel of the world to defend my country, Israel. So he's doing all he can to gain ground. And you will see. So choose to go of the way of the Lord. Watch out who you fellowship with and what you're listening to. Because they'll rob you of your faith and they'll rob you of your joy and they'll get you become complacent. And the pot begins to warm up and they don't realize they're being boiled. And their faith will be robbed. And you will see. In your lifetime, you will see the two parties, the two groups. There'll be the believer that takes the promises and stands against the devil. And then there'll be the lukewarm church, the cold church, the religious church, the ones that didn't want to fight, the ones that didn't want to use their authority, the ones that chose not to use the name of Jesus. They'll be with the others, and they will not participate. They'll be a spectator, and they will see, and they'll view from afar off. They won't partake and taste of the grapes of the promises. And they'll be robbed because they got deceived. They deceived themselves because they weren't doers of the word. They weren't single-minded. They became double-minded in their belief. And they listened to the voice of this world and not the voice of the word of God. And many will lose what they have. Their health is dependent on someone else, and they will be greatly disappointed. But the one that will build up on the Word and take time in my Word and go forth and possess this land and use the sword of the Spirit, use the name of Jesus and stand and speak the things, their blessings will overtake them. And they will, and others will wonder the rest of their life, why are you blessed and they're not blessed? They'll think, I'm a good person. I've done good things. I haven't done anything real bad. Why are others blessed and I'm not? Because a few will choose to go the way of the Spirit, the way of the Word. A few will choose to be remnant. It's available for all, but it was a few that got into the ark when all could have got in and enjoyed the provision that God had made for them. And that will be so sad that many will not partake of it. So as do all you can, intercede and pray for others. Do all you can, exhort them to get in the Word. Build themselves up. Build your faith up now. Build your house now while it can be strong. So when the storm comes and after it goes by, you'll still be standing and you'll still be enjoying your prosperity that the Lord Jesus Christ purchased for you to walk into. Many of your people are faced with a decision about what they'll do. And many will be halted between two opinions. They'll be ran over and trampled because they hesitated to make a decision. They hesitated too long, and an enemy took them out. It's the devil who's the prince, the power of the air, the spirit that worketh in children of disobedience. It's the devil that's in the principalities and powers, rulers of darkness world, and spiritual wickedness in high places. It's the evil one that perverts people's minds that think that what they believe is the truth. And today, they're doing all they can to worship the creation and not worship the Creator. And because many people have quit worshiping the Lord thy God, the key in the future will be the ones that will turn and worship God. The ones that will bow before Him every day and worship Him and praise Him, that He's Almighty Provider, that He's the one that takes care of the every need. Many have left God and don't worship in Him any longer. And they worship idols. They worship self-preservation. They're on the throne themselves and not the Lord God. Don't be deceived. Praise the Lord every day. Worship the Lord every day. Draw nigh to God every day. You'll get your energy, your strength, your every need met through you contacting Him and walking in fellowship with Him. He wants to walk with you, and He will lead you into greener pastures. And you will live while others experience famine. The ones that choose to go the way of the Lord will live in extreme abundance. And the Lord will protect your abundance that no thief can take it and no government can have it. If you look to Him, He'll show you what to do, saith the Lord. Hallelujah, Father. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Oh, we thank you, Father God, in the name of Jesus, for what you've done and what you're doing. Oh, there's an enemy that's already infiltrated this nation. Worse than the Taliban, the enemy of the lukewarm church, the compromising church, the apologetic church, the church that won't stand up boldly and decree and declare what the Lord Jesus Christ's blood has done. They're the enemy that's robbing all my children, that's chosen to be robbed, that fell by the wayside because they became lukewarm. They become complacent. They didn't keep themselves strong. They didn't think it was necessary to stay in my promises day and night. They didn't listen unto me. They didn't hearken unto me. They went the voice of some other voice and followed him. And consequently, it's cost many their jobs and their finances. People that were just caught in a trap. Seemingly had nothing to do with it. People would call them innocent bystanders that knew nothing. But because their loved ones that knew the word and co-workers that knew the word didn't use it and did not stand up, I warned them over and over again. Pray for your company. Pray for your job. Intercede for it. Take time off to do it. I talked to many, but they did not listen. They went ahead and went to lunch. They did other things, and they didn't put the time in intercessory prayer in decreeing who they were. And now those wonder, many wonder, and some even know in their spirit what they did was wrong. Turn everything around as though you're turning another page, that this is a day of a new day. Warn as many as you can to pray and intercede and to use that sword of the Spirit, and a great change will come. But it will be your choice. But I will always take care of my children that trust in the Lord with all their heart and lean not to their understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge me, saith the Lord, and you will be protected, and you will enjoy the promises and the blessings. Now, if there's something you want to ask the Lord to forgive you about, just do it right there. Make that chair an altar. If he's dealt with them, when I was laying carpet, the Lord dealt with me burying my job. Things would come up, and it got my attention real quick. Wait a minute, I need to go back. I'd lost everything. I need to go back to prayer. In Jesus' name, and praying for the company I'm working for Carpet Land and Riverview Paints and Carpets in Jesus' name. How many times we've had prayer meetings to pray for our nation and pray for our jobs in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we thank you for our companies in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you for our nation. Thank you, Lord, for all of our leaders, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for godly wisdom and counsel, Lord, in Jesus' name. Anything that's going on, Lord, that we're not aware of in our nation, Lord, be exposed in Jesus' name. God, we pray for protecting all of our jobs in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for every one of them. God, we took many of our blessings for granted in Jesus' name. Lord, there's a lot of stuff I didn't even pay attention to. I guess I just assumed it'd always be there and never thought anything about it. God, I ask you to forgive me in Jesus' name for taking anything for granted. We thank you, Lord, for everything we have in Jesus' name. Just running water, God, hot and cold today in the name of Jesus. Oil heat, hot water heat, gas heat, whatever kind of heat we have. Thermal pains, Lord, whatever kind, we thank you, Lord, for it in the name of Jesus. We pray over weather in New England, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, every person has heat this winter in the name of Jesus. They're protected, Lord, the north where it gets cold. In the name of Jesus, the summer, Lord, in the south where it gets so extremely hot. We thank you, Lord, people have AC, that they're protected, Lord, in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you for all of our provisions, Lord. We thank you, Lord, you've blessed us to be a blessing, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, for our highways and byways and subways and sidewalks and walking places and bicycles and cars and motorcycles and transportation, Lord, and airplanes and helicopters and everything that we have, God. Oh, God. Our buses and everything, our cabs, Lord, we're so thankful for them, Lord. We praise you and thank you, Lord. We have transportation. Thank you. We have abundance in food, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord. Oh, God, the list is endless, Lord, of what we could thank you for. Oh, God, my grandma used to sing, count your many blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. It is no secret what he's done for one or what he's done for others, he'll do for you. Oh, God, we thank you, Lord, for all of our blessings. Thank you, Lord, our jobs are blessed, Lord. Thank you, our finances are blessed, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for protecting them in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, we give you the praise and glory. We ask you, Lord, forgive us of every sin, Lord, known or unknown, Lord, in Jesus' name. Oh, for being cold-hearted or lukewarm, Lord, we ask you to forgive us, Lord.